Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Montgomery County, Maryland is where businesses go to be next. Home to a highly skilled, diverse workforce, a thriving business community, competitive incentives, and more. MoCo will help transform your business. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com to see how we can help you be next.
Welcome to the Fandrax Toolshed. If you love Dynasty Leagues and prospects, you came to the right place because that's what this show is all about. Covering the majors and all levels of the minor leagues to give you the leg up in your Dynasty Leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, Dynasty and prospect fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 34 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clegg and Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have another great episode in store for you all today. And with me, as usual, is my slightly sunburnt co-host from Fantrax HQ, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, are you using any spider tack to enhance your analysis tonight?
Oh, man, apparently it works pretty well. So if I can increase my analysis that much, then maybe we should try it out, but maybe it'll help sunburn too, you know? Never know. Got some raccoon eyes going on. Just back from the beach. That's why the episode's a little late, but hey, we're excited to be back and chatting about some baseball.
nothing wrong with a little family vacation, a little rest and relaxation. Everyone needs that from time to time. I'll be taking my vacation for a week in August, but going to Philadelphia. It's not like it's a nice beach location. Probably won't be getting too sunburnt in Philadelphia. Though maybe if I go to baseball games, you never know. But I will fully admit I am using a performance enhancer right now. It's called Coffee Milk. That's my usual performance enhancer on podcasts. Got my big old cup right here. But before we get into the show, enough of the spider tack jokes. You all have heard a lot about spider tack over the last few days, and we'll probably hear a lot more about it. So let's get right into the show here. But before we do, the usual housekeeping. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. Please subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or on your preferred podcasting platform. And please check out our new Patreon. Actually, it's not really new anymore, a few months in. But check out our Patreon, please. A lot of great stuff that we do there. Extra written content from both of us. Bonus podcast. Private Discord access. Access to our live prospect and dynasty rankings. And much more. These perks are available across 4 different tiers, starting at just $5. Or if you want to thank and support Chris and I, you can do so for as little as $1 a month. Sign up today at patreon.com/fantraxtoolshed and check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the network, including our other two baseball podcasts, Five Tool and SP Streamer. But all right, Chris, let's get into this week's episode. A lot of topics, a lot of stuff to cover today. We'll talk some prospects in the first half of the show, take our break, then come back and get into some MLB player talk, some dynasty talk on the second half. So a lot of stuff. So let's get right into it with some prospect promotions. A lot of relevant ones over the last week and a half or so since we last podcasted. We'll start with the two that actually just happened within the last few hours. Matt Manning getting the call up to start on Thursday against the Los Angeles Angels. And I believe Shohei Ohtani is who he'll be scoring off against in his first start. He gets the call. And then Jesus Sanchez for Miami, which is, everyone's been waiting for him, tearing out the cover off the ball so far. You know, it's easy to tell which one we're more excited about because one of these players has been performing very well in the minor leagues this season. The other one, not so much. So let's start with Jesus Sanchez here, Chris. How excited are you about Sanchez? And do you think, you know, the first time he came up last year, he went like, was it 1-for-25, struck out a lot, didn't look great. So are you more confident that he can really, you know, perform well this time around?
I think it's possible. He seemed to improve the plate discipline some this year, which I think is a really big factor for him. And that's something that I think's hindered him in the past. And the reason that he came up and struggled so poorly last year, I mean, just very, very rough when he came up. But this year so far, I mean, it's hard to deny what he's done in AAA with a slash line of 349, 400, 643, 9 home runs. But I do have concerns that I think he might be just slightly streaky. Over his last 20 games, I mean, he's just hit 237 with 2 home runs. The strikeouts are still down at just below 20%, and which is nice. That's what you like to see, especially out of a guy like this. I don't know. I mean, he could come up and hit the ground running, or he could come up and struggle. It's highly possible that he comes up and doesn't light the world up. And, you know, I don't know. I think the jury's still out on him for me, at least, even though I'm a little more confident this time around. I think that he could come up and struggle. I think that there could be some streakiness. There's still some holes in the swing. In my opinion, he's always had the physical tools, but the approach has always kind of been in question. So I'm really curious to see what the approach looks like against big league pitching this time around. So it'll be interesting. I'm not rushing to add him, but I think he, you know, as possibly comes up and does have a hot start and could get you. I mean, he's got the power. He's got the tools for sure. So it'll be interesting to see what he does.
Yeah, I think he's at least worth a speculative ad just because, like you mentioned, he has the tools. So there's a chance that, you know, this time around is going to be a lot different and he hits the ground running and is a nice asset for teams. So I think just on the upside alone, I think he's worth an ad here. You know, long term, I think he's going to be, I wonder how much he runs long term. You know, he has 1 steal this year in 33 games. He had 5 in 9 attempts back in 2019 in 113 games. Obviously, that's never been a huge part of his game, but you know, at one point we thought of him as kind of like a 10 to 15 steal guy. And now I'm thinking he's nothing more than like, you know, 3, 4, 5 a year. Should have good pop. You know, he's always shown good raw power. But he's the type of profile where you mentioned, like, he doesn't really walk a whole ton. Like, for his minor league career, 6.4% walk rate. That's, you know, that's below average. I think average is around what, 8%, 7.5%, 8% or so. That's below average. So he's going to be, he needs to put the ball in play, hit the ball hard. And I think he can do that. Like, he's shown he can do that, but inconsistently. And he's now 23, almost 24 now. So, yeah, I would go and add him. Like, I did in a couple leagues where I just have daily transactions. He'll probably go for a ton of fab, you know, this weekend, as, you know, all these top prospects always do. But yeah, I wouldn't go crazy to get him this year. But, you know, if you can get him, you know, in daily leagues where you can just go and add him, or, you know, don't have to show out a ton of fab in your league to get him, yeah, he's at least worth a speculative add. Matt Manning, on the other hand, I'm not touching right now. Like, I hate to say that because I've always been a big Matt Manning guy. You know, got a live look at him in 2019, and I thought he was to be, you know, a frontline starter in the making, but changeup hasn't gone well since that look, and overall command, it seems like it's either plateaued or maybe even regressed from when I saw him this year in AAA. Not good. Like, if Detroit was, like, fully healthy, he wouldn't be getting a look right now. I fully confidently say that. And seven starts, 8.07 ERA, 155 whip. He's given up, like, 5,000 home runs, but no, really, 11 home runs in seven starts. So, I mean, somebody commented on my post earlier saying, like, it's kind of funny, like, reverse psychology, or, like, opposite day, whatever you want to say. Like, all the good pitching prospects have come up and struggled that were performing well in the minor leagues. Maybe, like, the opposite happens. Like, oh, hey, he's been struggling in AAA. He's going to come up and dominate. That was kind of funny, but I don't see any immediate impact here outside of he'll probably get some strikeouts. You know, he's always been a big strikeout arm, but I'm going to let somebody else pay up for Matt Manning here. What do you think? What are your thoughts on Manning here, Chris?
Yeah, I think the pedigree and the name is going to cause people to way overpay fab-wise just because there's upside. I mean, there's always been the upside, but you mentioned, and I see people say, well, it's only been 32 innings of struggles this year, but what you didn't see is that he struggled last year at the alt site. There was a lot of reports about these struggles. And, you know, in 2019 in double A at 21 years old, he was absolutely dominant. And I think we have to remember that and remember what he's capable of. But right now, I don't really see it. And I think when you factor in the idea that he struggled last year and we're now on over a year of struggles, that I think it's concerning. And, you know, you look and honestly, the numbers are fairly similar, like underneath, like he's striking out, you know, right at the same amount. He's walking just a tad bit more than he was in 2019 when he put up a 2.56 ERA and a sub-1 whip. But what we see is he's struggling to command the pitches and he's allowing a lot of home runs. It's kind of what it comes down to right now. And people say, well, it's fluky. The home run to fly ball rate's fluky, but not when you're missing your spots like that. When you miss the spots and you're allowing the home runs, I don't think that's fluky. Yes, home run to fly ball rate can be a fluky thing from time to time. We see some positive regression in some sense, but I don't know. I wouldn't consider what has happened to him completely fluky. Yeah, his strand rate is, you know, pretty low. His BABIP is at 333 right now. So, yeah, I think that he could see a rebound, but he had an 807 ERA, 155 whip, even his FIP, you know, at 653, there's not a whole lot encouraging me right now. And so this year going against AAA hitter. So when you get up against guys like professional hitters in the major league, it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. But yeah, I'm not really buying in right now. Maybe it's a good time to buy low in Dynasty if you can, especially if he comes out and struggles. You know, if he struggles that first start, you really it might be rock bottom for value. His value's already dropped some, but in redraft, I don't think he's going to provide a ton of value rest of the season.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Like, I still like Manning. I still think he's got some solid upside, but it's that he needs that consistent third pick. He's almost like Chris Paddock, but, you know, having the secondary being his curveball instead of Paddock's changeup. Like, that changeup has shown promise. Like, you know, it flashed above average several times in my look, which is now about a little over 2 years. It was May of 2019, so a little over 2 years ago. I told you how long it was since he was really that good, but it flashed above average, but it just really hasn't been there. It's kind of like fringe average at best at this point. just command overall has not been there either. So I don't know right now. Yeah, I'm kind of dropping down my rankings, but still like him. And I agree with Chris here, would still buy low in Dynasty if possible. So I still think the upside is there to be a pretty valuable arm. But right now, for like redraft purposes, I am staying away. But moving down to guys going up to AAA here, a few that got promoted over the last week or so, but the two big names, Hunter Green of the Cincinnati Reds, Shane Baz of the Tampa Bay Rays, both dominating this year in AA, obviously getting their promotions. In seven starts for Baz, 2.48 ERA, 0.74 whip, two walks to 49 Ks. That's the thing right there, two walks. We'll go back to that in a minute. Hunter Green, also in seven starts, 1.98 ERA, and even one whip, 14 walks to 60 strikeouts and 41 innings. I put out a poll earlier today from our show account asking people who they like better in Dynasty Leagues, and last time I checked, it was split 50-50. So, Chris, who do you like more in Dynasty Leagues, Shane Baz, Hunter Green?
That's kind of tough now. I mean,
yeah.
Well, even preseason, you know, they were similar spots, but then now they've both moved up into similar spots. I want to say Green because I think Green possesses a little more upside. It might kind of be crazy because Baz has, you know, been incredible so far this year. You look at what he's done. You mentioned the walks are down, which that has always been the problem. And I partially wonder if we're going to see that come back into play more. I mean, you know, 32 innings is a decent sample size, but it's not huge. So, you know, if those walks come back around, yes, the commands look better. But, you know, a guy for throughout his career has struggled to command the ball and walked a lot of guys. So I kind of have the question marks there. With Green, man, he's been impressive and, you know, one that people kind of wondered what he would be because he hadn't pitched professionally since 2018. And, you know, we saw him in that spring training game get kind of lit up. The fastball was really flat and everybody was like kind of souring on him. But, man, he's been really good this season as well. 1.98 ERA, a 1.00 whip, and striking guys out like we know he could. The walk rate, sure, 8.6% is not that high. In today's game, some people may say it's high, but that's not high at all.
Yeah, not in today's game. It's not great, but it's not bad.
Yeah, it'll play, right? Yeah. In 41 innings. So, you know, when you have a K-minus walk rate of nearly 29%, it's pretty dang good. And it comes with a swing and strike rate of 16%, which I think fully supports who Green is. The arsenal's looked good. He blows the pitches by. I mean, the fastball gets way up there, you know, consistently in the 101, 102 range, which is nuts. But he could easily turn into a closer, but I don't know. Both these guys have some reliever risk, but I really like Green's upside. And this is why he was picked so high in the 2017 draft when the Reds took him second overall, because they knew he had this upside, and now we're getting to see it. So I would say Green, but I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, it's very close to me too. Like, I'll give a little spoiler here. I have Hunter Green currently 43rd in my rankings. Shane Baz 47th. So very, very close to me too. They're back to back in terms of pitchers. There's no pitchers between them. All three hitters between them. Yeah, Green does feel a little safer. Though, and I agree, there's still, you know, some reliever risk in each of these profiles, but I think that risk has gotten alleviated a bit. Like, I don't worry as much about that now as I did, say, even 2 months ago, especially with Baz. I think Baz, I was more worried about going to the bullpen, you know, adding Tampa Bay and their usage of guys, so you never know. But the fact that he's shown such improved command and control this year, he's not plus, but yeah, you know, maybe he's to the point where he could be around average for both. I don't think he's ever going to be like a pinpoint specialist or anything like that. But I think the year off, like, I remember we talked with Shane Baz on Five Tool back, you know, right when the pandemic began for like early April last year. And he kind of mentioned that he wanted to just kind of focus on some things and, you know, repeatability of his stuff and mechanics and whatnot. So he definitely seemed to have done that, and it's really paying big dividends now. So they only need the two walk. He's a 1.7% walk rate. That is ridiculous. Will that stick? Probably not. But better than, I think he was 11 point whatever percent, 11.8%, I think it was, heading into 2021 season here. So definitely love what both these guys are doing. Some people have asked, like, do you think we see them this year? Probably not. You know, maybe they get a cup of coffee, or kind of like the Lizardo route from a few years ago, use out of the bullpen end of the year. I could see the Rays bringing up Boz, just have him as like an electric arm out of the pen down the stretch and into the postseason, because it looks like they'll probably, you know, either win the AL East or get a wild card. So I can see both these teams bringing them up just in a relief role. But for fantasy purposes, I don't think the real impact for either of these arms happens until next year. But definitely love what they're both doing right now. A couple other arms here that got called up. A couple Yankees arms. Luis Gil to AAA, and then Luis Medina to AA here. You know, which one of these arms do you like more, Chris, going forward? Do you like Gil more or you like Medina more?
I think it's Medina. He's made some strides this year that has really stood out to me. And another one who, you know, the command kind of struggling, but he's made it work. Even, you know, he's walking 14% of hitters. That's a question mark. And I don't know. The beginning of the year, it looked better. Now the walk rate's just soared. And that's the concern for me, that he's kind of falling back off. The strikeout rate's way up at nearly 38%. But you can't live with a 14% walk rate. It just won't work. And especially considering the fact that, you know, his first three or four starts, that walk rate was sitting around 6 and 7%. It means he's walking a lot of guys recently. And, you know, looking at the game log, his last several starts, he's walked three and then four over four and five innings. So, and then three in the previous start over four innings. That is slightly concerning to me. I still think there's more upside with Medina than Gil, even though, you know, Gil's fastball, you know, really great. There's some similarities here with both guys, I think, with, you know, a lot of strikeout upside, some command issues, and high walk rates. It'll be interesting to see how it works out, but yeah, if I had to pick, I'd probably say Medina.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. And, you know, I probably, we were looking at the schedule before we came on the air, probably get a live look at Medina next Tuesday. Somerset, the Yankees AA affiliate, comes to Portland here next week, Tuesday through Sunday. Series starting on the 22nd, and it looks like Medina should pitch that day or maybe the day after, but should go in that series regardless. So would like to get a live look at him and see how he looks. But yeah, that it feels like he always kind of shows signs of improving that, you know, command and control, and then it just goes back down. Like, he's, it's up and down. So I don't know. I love the upside. I've always loved the upside of Luis Medina. I think he has more upside than Clark Schmidt, than Davey Garcia. I think he has the highest upside of any pitching prospect in that system, but, you know, he probably has one of the lower floors in that system as well. And like you mentioned, that 14% walk rate is just not going to play. Like, you don't see any, like, I just pulled up for qualified starters over the last 10 seasons, the highest walk rate was 13.1%, Edinson Volquez 2012. Then you got Ricky Romero, 12.7%. Like, you don't, 14% is just not going to play. And all these guys did not have good seasons that year that they had that walk rate that high. Like, looking at, like, Ubaldo Jimenez, Laureano, Sean Newcomb, Giolito in 2018 when he was terrible. Just, you know, Dakota Hudson 2019, Robbie Ray 2019, Nick Pivetta this year. It's like, you don't have success with that high of a walk rate. And he has a higher walk rate than anybody in the majors has had as a qualified starter in the last decade. So yeah, definitely don't think, yeah, he needs to improve that. And at this point, I don't know, it's been so long, I'm starting to wonder if he ever does, or if he's just, you know, high leverage bullpen arm moving forward, but he could find some value there too, but we'll see. And then moving down to AA, now we had several high profile call-ups from high A to AA over the last week. another Yankee, Oswald Peraza, up to AA. He's been on fire to start the season. Five category producer. A couple of Tigers, Spencer Torkelson, Dylan Dingler, got called up to AA Erie, which unfortunately does not come here to Portland or anywhere near here, so I will not get live looks at them, which stinks, but that's our COVID world that we're living in, where travel is, especially in the minor leagues, is greatly reduced. And then the last one, Cade Cavalli, getting called up to AA after his 7-inning, no-hit, 2-walk, 15-strikeout performance last week. You know, with Torkelson, people were really worried about him when he started off. Like, he was really bad. First, like, 2-3 weeks of the season, striking out a lot. People are wondering, oh, did we value him too highly? And now look at him now. As of right now, through high A, he had 31 games. Even with that terrible start, 312, 440, 569 slash, OPS over 1,000. Five home runs. Okay, he only has five home runs, 31 games. It's a little lower than what we thought, but still. 11 doubles, almost as many walks as strikeouts, 24 walks, 28 Ks. Torkelson's going to be fine. But, you know, what are your thoughts on some of these guys, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think it's so silly to overreact to slow starts, like with prospects.
Absolutely.
And this is his first taste of professional baseball. And you mentioned struggles. When he hit his first home run on May 22nd, since that day, in 17 games, he's slashing 424, 507, 864. He's a 13.7% walk rate, 13.7% K rate, five home runs, 20 RBI, and even a stolen base to chip in there. So
is hitting over 400 good?
Yeah, maybe. And if you're Ted Williams.
Yeah.
Only for Ted.
Yeah, only for Teddy Ballgame.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's silly to overreact and talk about these guys not being a top 50 prospect anymore. Dude, it was 15 games. Like, get a grip and let him adjust. When you've never seen professional pitching before, it's going to take time. And Torkelson was one of the most polished college hitters in recent memory. And this is who he is. I mean, he's dominant. The hit tool is phenomenal. The power is phenomenal. That's what you're going to get. He can be an elite four category guy. I think that's what he's going to be. So if you could have bought low, I think the chance is completely out right now. So I expect Torkelson to kind of move quick through the minor leagues and debut next year at some point. So he's going to be really solid.
Yeah, agreed. I think you think he gets a AAA call up this year? I think he could, like, later on if he hits well in AA.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
If not, he'll probably start next year at AAA and then be up. We probably be clamoring for him to be called up right around this time next year, probably. So definitely, yeah, Torque's fine. But Dylan Dingler has really impressed me too. And, you know, I'm not overly surprised by this because, you know, we had the kind of the four big catching prospects in last year's draft. We had Dingler, Patrick Bailey, Tyler Soderstrom. Oh, Austin Wells. Probably not going to be a catcher long term, but yeah, so we had those four. And I kind of thought at the time, like, you know, maybe Dylan Dingler is the best, like, all round catcher in this draft class. He's, you know, pretty good defensively, offensively. He's had good pop. He's been, you know, obviously, he was hitting very well this season, earning that call up along with, he wasn't quite as impressive as Torkelson, but. I'm trying to pull up his stats here. In 32 games, 287, 376, 549, six doubles, eight home runs, a walk rate, you know, a little under 10%, strikeout rate, a little high, but not terribly high. But he's shown that he can hit for average, he can hit for power. You know, everyone likes to talk about, you know, obviously Soderstrom is getting a lot of love right now, Francisco Alvarez, Gabriel Moreno, Cal Raleigh, all deservedly so. But Dylan Dingler needs more love. Like, I think he could be top 100 dynasty prospect and top five catching prospect for dynasty purposes by the end of the year. I don't know. What are your thoughts on him? Are you as high on him as I am, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, he's looked really, really impressive, and he's very disciplined at the plate. And I just don't think he got the love that he deserved, honestly, because there were so many other great catching prospects in last year's draft, like you mentioned, with great bats. And here he is just flat out raking. You mentioned the stats. I mean, he's been phenomenal, and he just looks so poised at the plate. He gets the bat through the zone really quickly, and he's got that power. I mean, I think a lot of people thought he may have average power. I think there's more in the tank than that. Hit tool looks at least average, if not better. The OBP skills are there. I mean, he's got great plate discipline. He's impressive. I think you're right. And I think that we need to take notice and put him on more radars, because he's just as good as some of these other catching prospects that we've mentioned.
Yep, absolutely. And the last one here, Cade Cavalli, man, he has looked really, really impressive. Like I mentioned, that last start where he put seven shutout, seven no-hit innings with 15 strikeouts for the season through his seven starts, 177 ERA, 0.89 whip, 71 strikeouts in 40 and two-thirds innings, which I believe still leads the minor leagues, or at least as a couple of days ago, I led the minor leagues in strikeouts. Almost two strikeouts per inning this year, just absolutely blowing guys away. You know, I remember back in the beginning of the season, I think a lot of lists, they were close, but I think a lot of lists, I think both of ours included, had Jackson Rutledge a little bit ahead of Cade Cavalli. Now that's what a difference a month and a half makes, Chris. Like, right. Cavalli is now, I moved him up. I think he was probably, if I had to guess, actually, I can probably tell you, in my February update, Cade Cavalli was 138. And Jackson Rutledge, hey, 136, right above him. Now, Cade Cavalli is way higher than that. I lost him. Where'd he go? Oh, 66, but I'll probably move him up even higher before I publish next couple of days, probably up into the 50s. And Jackson Rutledge, who has struggled mightily, is down in around 150. I moved him too far. But, yeah, what a difference a few, you know, several weeks can make. But Cavalli's been damn impressive.
Yep, 100%. And I think he's deserving to be right in that group of pitching prospects that we've talked about, where there's no defined number one, but there's a group of like 10 to 15 pitchers. I think he's every bit in that discussion. And he's, like you mentioned, he's looked phenomenal. He's been dominant. I think the biggest question mark still is maybe the injuries that have happened in the past, and maybe he puts that behind him. I think that's the hope, is that if the injury history is past him and he stays healthy, like, he's capable of being this upside arm. And it looks like the Nats got an absolute steal here. And you even look at what he did at Oklahoma, and he was good, but man, he's just really improved his arsenal, in my opinion. He's improved a lot of aspects of his game, and it's really boosted him up a ton. So he's been highly impressive, and I think he's very deserving of a top 50 overall prospect, and in the midst of a top 10 pitching prospect, in my opinion. I think he's definitely there.
Yeah, you mentioned that kind of that cluster that of pitching prospects. That seems to just keep growing and growing. Like, that, I think that's easily like a 15-person tier right now. There's no number one. Like, some people still think it's Gore. You know, you hear some Grayson Rodriguez, you know, George Kirby, maybe so six. You know, Chris Willis had Sixto. It's, I think you said you have Max Meyer. It's like there's so many arms up there that there's no definitive one. Even, you know, people say they have a guy they like, but there's no, like, I don't think you ask any of them and they're like, oh yeah, this is the guy. You know, maybe some of the Prospect Live guys have been pumping Grayson Rodriguez, and rightfully so, but there's so many in that tier. And yeah, Cade Cavalli's up in there now. Hunter Green's in there now. Shane Boz is up in there now. You know, maybe, you know, and the two other guys I mentioned in my article the other day, Mick Abel, Daniel Espino, they have the upside to get into that range at some point. You know, you and I have gushed about Mick Abel in several episodes at this point. moving on here, though, so we talked a lot about pitching prospects on the rise the last few weeks. So we each wanted to talk about a couple hitting prospects that we're just really starting, maybe not planting our flag on, but really moving up our own rankings. Chris, who are those two guys for you right now?
Yeah, and those are both guys that I thought could potentially jump this year, and they've really been impressive, and that's Francisco Alvarez and Gunnar Henderson. And man, you talk about catching prospects earlier, and I'm not super high on catchers for fantasy purposes, but Alvarez is one that he's been so impressive, and it's been impossible for me to ignore what he's done. And I have moved him way up. He's my 26th overall prospect for fantasy, which is feels a little crazy, but I think he's that special. You know, he's always had the bat, and you know, they're keeping him behind the plate, and he's they're slowly developing him because they want him to be the catcher of the future. The bat's going to play, the glove, the arm, they're coming around. But you look at what he's done, and yeah, he's maybe struggled a little bit since he was bumped to high A, but even still, in 126 plate appearances between low and high A, still hitting 327, a 460 OBP, and a 561 slug there with five home runs, even three stolen bases. And I don't expect him to be much of a runner, but I think the power is legit, and I think he's a legit 25 home run bat. And you look at the hit tool, and it's there. I mean, even in 2019, as a 17-year-old in rookie ball, you watched him tear it up and hit for a high average and hit for power, and he's just continuing to impress. And I don't know, he's blown me away. And you know, you see him and you watch him at the plate, and he's just got it. And you know, when Rutschman graduates, I think he's the easy number one catching prospect for fantasy purposes, because I think he's just that good. And so Alvarez is one that I've been really impressed with, and Gunnar Henderson also. And this is one that there were some reports out of the alt site that he was really breaking out. And a couple people asked me, like, well, why didn't you boost him in your prospect rankings? Because, like, I wanted to see it. You know, I wanted to see this happening. In some instances, we got to see it last year. Like, we watched Jaron Duran have a swing change because Boston publicized it. They broadcast their games. We got to see it. And some and other teams, we didn't get to see it. And Gunnar Henderson's one of those where we didn't really get to see it. And now we're getting to see it. And he's taking off. He's been absolutely dominant. You see the opposite field power, highly impressive to see what he's done. He's hitting for average. He's hitting for power. He's even chipping in for some steals. And I love his ability to go to all fields. It's impressive, you know, and at the left side of the plate, you just watch what he does, mashing home runs to the opposite foul pole, pulling balls over the fence. Just what he does is impressive. The strikeouts have, there's been some strikeouts, but not too bad. But still, he's put up a slash line of 328. 387, 615, over 1,000 OPS. Love what Henderson's done. He's vaulted way up in my rankings, almost inside my top 40, but he's in that 40 to 50 range right now. So both these guys have made major jumps to me and really impressed me with what I've seen.
And he's got a great baseball name too, Gunnar Henderson. You got to love that name. So many ways you can go with that. Some cool nicknames that'll probably arise from having that name. But yeah, you know, with the daily prospect update, stats update that I do every morning, you know, somebody commented about, you know, a week ago or so, like, hey, this is basically the Gunnar Henderson update. I'm like, yeah, pretty much. He's in there every day, more often than not. Like, Alvarez is in there a lot, obviously. Yeah, definitely love both of those guys, and I moved both of them up a lot in my rankings as well. A couple others hinted on this one earlier. Tyler Soderstrom, you know, probably not going to remain behind the plate long term. Could he? Maybe. I don't think he'd ever be like a standout defensive catcher, but you know, even if he didn't have, you know, Sean Murphy up there, who is struggling a bit now at the plate, but that the defensive skills of Murphy, like, he's a very valuable real life catcher. So you probably see Soderstrom move to a corner, whether that's corner outfield, first or third, something like that. Definitely a corner. I think it's in his future. I couldn't tell you where right now. If I had to guess, I'd probably say corner infield over corner outfield, but you never know. He's a good athlete. 6'2", 200, strong, athletic guy, and he's hitting very well to start the season in low A Stockton, 299, 398, 511, five home runs, 14 doubles in 35 games. His walk rate is over 10%, keeping the K rate in check right. It's a hair over 25%, which is not too bad. He's a 19-year-old getting his first taste of pro ball, so that is not too bad at all. So, you know, people think he loses value, you know, him or Wells loses value because he moved off a catcher. You know, yeah, would you like to see this production on catcher? Obviously. But that bat is going to play. This is a legit potential plus hit, plus power bat, you know, 280 plus, 25 plus home runs. And I think he's going to be a dude, and he's already showing, you know, why the Oakland Athletics drafted him so highly, 26th overall out of high school. You don't see a lot of prep, you know, catchers drafted that highly. So He's definitely, shows why that bat is legit. And another one here, he hasn't been a huge riser up my rankings because I already had him high to begin with. But this is a guy that he's approaching top 10 overall for me. All the tools that I thought, were there, he's showing right now. And that's Garrett Mitchell. Through his third, slightly delayed, he came in, he had 2 or 3 games, got hurt, came back about 2 weeks ago. So in 13 games this year, 368, 538, 526 slash line. He has 3 extra base hits, 1 double, 1 triple, 1 home run, 6 steals and 7 attempts, more walks than strikeouts, 14 walks and 52 plate appearances, walk rate around 26.5%. The power is the question, right? That's kind of always been the question. He has that hitch in his swing and his hips kind of flailing out. He's shown a plus raw power. That's not the question. This is how much of that power will translate into game power. And that's still kind of the question. That was a question at the draft. It's still the question now. He has the 1 home run right now. But even as it stands, I think he's a 12 to 15 homer guy to go along with above average to plus hits and plus speed. But if he can get up near 20, which is definitely possible, this guy is going to be an absolute fantasy stud. And I'm kind of banking on that happening. I don't think he's going to end up being a 12 to 15 homer guy. I think he'll figure it out at least to the point where he can get up to 20. This guy could be a 25 homer bat, 25 to 30 home runs. He definitely has that type of raw power. So I think he will figure it out to a point where he can tap into that more consistently in games. And he's going to be an absolute stud. So he's moving way up my rankings here. And once a few of these guys graduates, I could see him in my top 10 by the end of the season. And one other name that we want to touch on before we hit the break here, speaking of guys that are just tearing the cover off the ball, Nolan Gorman is absolutely on fire. He had a 2 home run game followed by a 3 home run game a few days ago for the season, 316, 388, 566, 10 home runs. He's trimmed the strikeout rate. Now the walk rate is still above 10%. So a lot of good things going on here, Chris. What have been your thoughts on Nolan Gorman this year, and where do you have him in your prospect rankings? Has he moved back up a good amount?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, he's been a pleasant surprise when you look at the large body of work and, the struggle with hit tool, honestly. And, even in 2018, he did come up in rookie ball and kind of mash and hit 350 and had a 443 OBP. But I think that was seemed at the time like it was kind of a mirage. And, he never displayed that hit tool. And in 2019, we saw it where he hit 248 over the full season between low and high A. And now in double A, he's just tearing the cover off the ball, like you said, and the hit tool seems to have improved. The OBP skills are there, and we've known that. He's been a solid OBP guy, and the power, exactly like we thought. He's always had the big raw power, but I think the most impressive thing out of him has just been the hit tool improvement. We've seen the approach at the plate, be very, very good for him. He's not walking at as high of a rate as you'd like, but still, I mean, when you're putting those kind of numbers, you can't complain with what you're getting out of him. And, especially the fact that if he does move to second base, I mean, I don't see them moving Arenado off third anytime soon. So at second base for fantasy purposes, this is a pretty unique skill set, I think. And we got excited when Mike Moustakas got second base eligibility. And this is kind of seems to be a better version of him maybe, which is kind of crazy, but you know, that's the kind of the skill set that he brings to the table. And, you know, I like what I've seen. The strikeouts have been cut. He's got it. So, yeah, I'm excited about Gorman. He's back inside my top 50 and could move up even higher.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, like, a good comp at that position, second base. I couldn't come up with one. I think that's a good one that you mentioned. Everything else, like Jeff Kent, but he had a pretty good average for the most part. I don't think he's going to be a 300 hitter or anything like that, even though I do like the gains he's made at the plate this year with the approach and the contact skills. But you know, even if he's just like 260, 270 with 30 home runs, that is very valuable. That's a top 10 second baseman right there. Like, you don't get 30 home run pop out of that position often. Like you mentioned, Arenado's a third, you know. Who knows how long he's in St. Louis, but they have at least given Gorman some time at second base this year. He's made 21 starts at third, 9 at second base. Looked pretty solid. He's got a better fielding percentage at second than he does at third. He looked all right at second base. So he definitely has the athleticism to make that transition full time if that's the way they want to go. They have Jordan Walker in the mix as well. So who knows how that kind of situation plays out, but yeah, Gorman has moved back up into my top 50 as well, and he'll probably be, you know, in the 40 range or so at my next update. So definitely like what I'm seeing there. But let's go ahead and take a quick break here. We'll come back on the other side and talk some Major League Dynasty players. So stick with us. All right, welcome back from the break. So the other big piece of news today, you know, whenever you get the two positive pieces of the news with the promotions, there's got to be a negative one. That's how it is this year. Tyler Glasnow looking like he's going to be out for a while. Partial tear of his UCL and a strained forearm muscle. So this is going to be a long-term injury. We'll see. They're trying to go the rest and rehabilitation route as opposed to Tommy John. But, you know, often we see these turn into Tommy John. And you can tell, if you didn't look, see his press conference earlier today, I highly recommend you go look at it. It was great talking about, you know, how MLB's cracking down on all the substances on the baseballs and how he used a mixture of sunscreen and rosin just to get grip, better feel, not for anything to do with spin rates. He's like, I already got big enough hands. I can get spin that way. And he was frustrated that they're doing this kind of midseason, and I understand it. So definitely go check that out. But Chris, what's your gut reaction, your gut check reaction here of, you know, you think he going to go Tommy John? Do you think he's going to be out for a while? Do you think this is going to really hurt his dynasty value moving forward? What's your initial reaction of this injury?
I'm angry because I owned him everywhere.
You did. I did.
I didn't draft starters early, and he always slipped into the 50 to 60 range, and he was always my SP1, and it was looking great.
Yeah, he looked good this year. Yeah, really he good.
He looked very good and was very helpful to my team. So as he's going to hurt the – I mean, I probably have him on 60% of my team, so it's going to be hurtful for sure. And, you know, like you mentioned, the press conference I thought was really good. And, you know, it was kind of sickening to watch the reactions to it because everyone, you know, saying that he was basically saying that he cheated, which I don't think that's the case. And people overreacting to all kinds of stuff about it. And every single pitcher uses something. And if you don't, you're falling behind. So I appreciate his openness and honesty about it. I thought it was a great thing what he said. And I was even reading, like, in 2018, apparently the baseballs they were using were, like, basically like a cue ball with a little bit of seam on it. Like, is that slick? So the guys have to use something. And it's frustrating. Like, this is, like, the epitome of what Rob Manfred and MLB do, like, midseason do something stupid like this. And I just wonder if this is going to be a big issue with injuries. We don't know for sure, but you know, we see Glasnow go down, Bieber's hurt, Tucker Davidson went down tonight with tight forearm, which I don't know. It is just kind of frustrating to see it happening and that they would do stuff like this. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated, but it is what it is. Baseball's just Manfred being baseball and being dumb. So yeah, concerning. I think Glasnow could be out a while. I don't know. I just think, unfortunately, I think they're probably delaying the inevitable if they try to let him sit and rehabilitate it. But who knows? I mean, maybe it can work like Tanaka, but most time it doesn't work. So
yeah. Yeah, I didn't nearly have as many shares. I had a couple of shares of Glass now, but yeah, I'm angry at this in general. Like, this is weird. Not to get on a tangent about this, you know, change that MLB's doing, but it is weird that they're doing it mid-season. Like, all of a sudden, nope, can't use anything anymore. And he mentioned how he had to grip the ball harder, his curveball, he had to get deeper into his hands, him the fastball, he had to grip it harder, and that, you know, obviously makes you use your muscles and up through the forearm into the elbow more. And that's what Nick Savali kind of was wondering that when we had him on Five Tool last week. Like, is this going to cause an uptick in injuries? And I think, yeah, it's already off to a bad start with, you know, Glass now and Davidson going down, and who knows who else in the coming weeks. But it is fair to think, everyone thinks about, you know, spin rates and, oh, spin rates will go down, production will go down. But I'm more worried about injuries. Like, you know, if spin rates go down a little bit, fine. It's not like someone's going to lose 500 RPMs off their slider or anything like that. So I'm just worried about who's going to get injured here moving forward. And Glass now is kind of the first casualty of that. But yeah, really sucks. But yeah, I do like his openness and, you know, how he handled that. And I think he handled it very well. So anyone out there calling him out, I think you're just go back and take another look at it, because I think he handled it very well. And even said he wasn't trying to call MLB, just he was frustrated. He was showing raw emotion, which I wish more people would show. So yeah, definitely like how he handled that. So hopefully he's not out long. Hopefully he's able to rehabilitate it and be back maybe later this year for their playoff run. Though that would be bad for my Red Sox, but don't want to see a guy like this go down for long. Sticking in the division here, going up to Toronto or Buffalo or whatever they want to play this week. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. We haven't really talked about Vlad, so let's talk about Vlad here and a little bit about Bo Bichette too, because they're both just absolutely dominating this year. You know, Vlad hit a 7,000-foot home run last night to tie up the game. I was watching the game, and I'm pretty sure it left Boston and landed somewhere in Connecticut. Bo Bichette is on pace for the first 140-run scored season since A-Rod in 2007, also on pace for 30-plus home runs and I think 20-plus steals, 100 RBI. So where do you put Vlad in your dynasty rankings? Is he top five now? Is Bo top five? I think they both have at least a case for top five, both of them. What do you think?
Yeah, I think make an argument. I think Vlad is probably – I would say I definitely put – Vlad's in my top five. Bo, not quite. I think you can make an argument, but – with Vlad, I mean, he's been so consistent, and this is who we expected him to be, that we waited for him to be. And we remember we were waiting. He's only 22 years old, so it's not like we waited forever for this to happen. And now it's happening. You know, he's just been so steady this year and absolutely dominant in every aspect of the game. And this is who he is going to be, an elite four-category contributor. I mean, already 22 home runs, 346 batting average, 56 RBI, 50 runs. So across those four categories, just absolutely dominating, not to mention a 451 OBP, which is highly impressive as well. The walk rate, you know, right there with the strikeout rate at 15.4%, the walk rate at 14.7%. It's been impressive. So yeah, with Vlad, I mean, I think this is who he is. And, you know, the difference is not hitting the ball on the ground as much, what everyone knew he needed to do. And he's doing that, and it's changed like his aspects of his game, where he's now an elite fantasy asset. And we knew it would happen at some point, and everyone just kind of was sitting on it, waiting for it to happen and saying, well, I'm not going to invest this year. I'll be willing to miss out. And if you missed out, I'm sorry. I mean, he's here. I think he's definitely top five dynasty guy, because we got to remember, like, as a prospect, like when he debuted, like he was considered like borderline top 10 dynasty, like by some people, like he was way up there, and he kind of fell off a little bit, but yeah, I have no problem saying he's easily top five. You mentioned with Bo, I mean, super steady as well. Really good. I think he's a borderline five category guy. I think you have to classify him as that now.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what he's done, and if he keeps running like this, the power's there. You know, 13 home runs is and not many when you look at Vlad's total, but 13 home runs is still really good. Yep. You know, he could be a 30 home run guy, I think. And if he steals 20 bags, even if he's a 25-20 guy, 25-25 guy, that's really, really impressive when you factor in the hit tool that he has. The only qualm I have is just the walk rate. You know, if you're in an OBP league, I think he's a little lower in OBP leagues, but still, I mean, he's absolutely dominant. And so I'm definitely a fan of both these guys, what I've seen.
Yeah, you know, you look at Vladimir Jr.'s Savant page, and it's just littered with red, as you would expect. The lowest quality of contact metric he has is like a 94th percentile barrel rate. Everything else is 97th, 98th, 99th, 100th percentile in X WOBA and X Slug. You know, X of velocity 95.4 miles an hour, hard hit rate 55.6%. You mentioned that walk rate, strikeout rate, nearly identical, a little higher on the strikeout rate, but still only 15.4%. And yeah, we wanted to see him. You know, what are the two things that a lot of people were saying? He needs to get in better shape. He did that. I follow him on Instagram, and he was posting multiple workout videos literally every single day of the off season. Just, you know, with doing the ropes and lifting weights and doing sprints and everything, and more agility drills, everything, getting in much better shape. And obviously you look at him now, look at him in 2020, it's night and day. And then get the launch angle up, you know, start hitting more balls in the air. Again, check. You know, the fly ball rate is up, line drive rate is up, ground ball rate is down, launch angle, well, it's not like massive. It's 7.7 degrees. That's better than 4.6 degrees. And he's just barreling up everything right now. Like, you can't find a weakness in Vlad's game right now. And yeah, he's like, you know, he gets more recognition because he's the one leading the league in home runs and with all these, you know, sexy Statcast metrics. You go to Bo's page, it's not as sexy as Vlad's. He doesn't have like a 99th percentile average exit velocity, but he brings speed to the table. He's going to score a ton of runs, hitting second in front of Vlad, in front of, you know, Teoscar Hernandez and Randall Grichuk and Lourdes Gurriel and Kevin Biggio. He's scored a ton of runs. Like I said, he's on pace for the first 140-run season in 14 years. We'll see if he gets there. On pace for 144 right now, leads the league in runs. So he's more of a five-category guy, so that kind of gives him that edge over Vlad. But, yeah, right now I do have Vlad two spots higher. I have Vlad 5 and Bo 7 with Trey Turner right in the middle of them. But, yeah, very, very, you know, that lineup is, especially when they get Springer back and if Biggio gets going, that's going to be a scary lineup. And, you know, Chris, when do we, you know, whenever you talk about the top organizations for player development, Toronto never really gets talked about. When are we going to start talking about them, at least on the hitting side of things, as being like one of the premier orgs for developing hitters? Like, you look at it, all these guys are basically homegrown. They still got Austin Martin, Jordan Groshans, Gabriel Moreno. They just find these guys and develop them.
Yep. I think we have to consider him up there and easily top five in development. I mean, everyone naturally goes to the Dodgers, I think, is the best at doing that. And they do, but you know, you look at what they've done, and that lineup is pretty much all homegrown, like you mentioned. And when you see that, I think it's highly impressive, and that's a fantastic lineup. If they start developing pitchers, then, you know, watch out.
Watch out, yeah.
Right.
And they kind of have, not as much as on the hitting side of things, but, you know, Manoah, and I still think Pearson's going to be pretty solid. They got Simeon Woods-Richardson coming up maybe next year. But on hitting side of things, can you think of any, off the top of your head, any org that's like, boom, better than Toronto for developing hitters? I can't. Like, maybe the Dodgers, but you know, I can't think of any org that's like clear cut ahead of Toronto for offensive development. So
The White Sox, maybe if healthy,
maybe, yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's an if. I mean, you look at that lineup's pretty beat up, but you know, with Moncada was Boston, I guess. Anderson, Abreu. He was older though. And then you have the, you know, guys like Madrigal, Eloy, and Robert, but they're all injured right now. So, yeah, I mean, Houston at one point, I guess, but now hard to say that. Who knows if that was from cheating or not? We don't have to get into that. But you know, a lot of those guys were homegrown. But yeah, I mean, the Blue Jays have been right there with them and have been pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of impressive, another American League East hitter that has really kind of surprised, came out of nowhere, but, you know, really risen up rankings this year. Cedric Mullins in Baltimore, currently slashing .321, .389, .524, 9 home runs, 12 steals, leads the league in hits with 79 through 64 games. He's on pace for like a 35 steal season here. How legit do you think Mullins is? Like, how much are you buying into this, Chris?
He's a tough one for me to really gauge how I feel. And I don't know. I mean, I thought he would have fallen off at this point. Like, I thought it was kind of a mirage, just a hot start. But
same here, yeah.
And at this point, it's hard to say that. I mean, he's just been so good, and he keeps hitting. And the power's a surprise, I think. But I wonder if the power falls off a little bit. It's hard to say, again, because, you know, look, his exit velocity is, you know, about 52nd percentile, so it's not that impressive. Really, the biggest thing that I see is that, you know, he's kind of improved some contact metrics, not swinging and missing as much. I think that's been a big factor, is putting the ball in play more and naturally getting a little more loft also has helped. So just hitting some more balls over the fence. And, you know, in Camden in the summer, that becomes a big hitter's park. So
balls fly out of there, yeah.
Is he just going to continue to do this? I don't know. But, you know, so you look at what he's done, and, you know, the launch angle's up. There's kind of less ground balls now, which I think has helped. And the ball could really fly this summer, so maybe it continues. His hard hit rate's up near 40%. Yeah, he's walking more. He's striking out less. There's a lot to like here. I just wonder how legitimate it is. It feels more legitimate now than it did a month ago. But still, I'm still struggling to fully buy in. So I don't know. He's a tough one to, like, for dynasty value. I think he's a tough one to really gauge, like, where the value's at.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think a lot of what he's done, a lot of the adjustments he's made this year are legit. Like, he's, you know, improved his approach, walk rates up, strikeout rates down, barrel rates up. You know, a lot of those quality fundamentals are up, but at the same time, they're up to a point where they're now kind of like average to, you know, some are slightly below average, some slightly above average. You know, even like, you know, X slug is only 427, you know, compared to his actual slug of 522. So, you know, I think there's the power. Well, I think it will play up in Baltimore, like you mentioned. And I don't think he's going to be 25 homer guy. I think he'll be like a 15 to 20 homer guy. But, you know, even if he's like a 15 homer, 20 to 25 steal guy moving forward, that's still pretty damn valuable with a, you know, a solid enough average. I don't think he's going to be 321 moving forward. His XBA is around 272. I think that's in the, you know, 270, 280 range. 270, 15, 20. That's, you know, borderline top 100 overall guy right there. Will he be top 100 long term? I don't know, but definitely moving him up my rankings a ton. And another guy moving up my rankings a ton. I'll let you, you know, this is down in your neck of the woods, so I'll let you kind of take the lead here. Austin Riley, you watch him more than, you know, as a Braves fan a lot. Is the Austin Riley we're seeing this year legit? Should we expect this Austin Riley moving forward, or do you think maybe the average is a little bit of a mirage?
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, I think you expect regression. I'm not sure to what extent, but the Braves believed in him and have consistently believed in him. They could have traded him when he was at peak value and he was like, you know, a top 20 prospect for some people, but they didn't. They had the chance then when they were competing to cash out and get someone big. And I think that was arguably his peak value as a, like, a real life player, as a prospect. But, you know, right now you look what he's doing. I mean, we've known the power is legit. You look at the batting average, and right now sitting at 299. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a 299 hitter rest of the season, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's a 275 hitter, because I think the team has really believed that he could improve the contact metrics. He would cut the strikeout rates a little bit, and that's what he's done. I mean, you know, he's been very impressive. He's been a huge win for fantasy purposes. Now, the BABIP's a little high. You look at that, and you probably expect some regression. The BABIP for Riley is 386, but the power's legit. His walk rate's up. He's walking at a high rate. So yeah, I'm not going to go as far to say that like he's a top 50 dynasty asset. Like I've seen him go like that high in some mocks and stuff, which is kind of crazy. But do I think he's a borderline top 100 dynasty guy? Potentially so, because the big power is going to play. And if he can just hit 275, I think that's valuable when you look at the context of Riley could hit 35 plus home runs. So yeah, I'm definitely buying in, but I would kind of buy with caution because I think his value is really inflated right now, but he's solid. He's doing what the organization thought he could do and believed he could do all along.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree with you there. He's pushing top 100 for me as well. I do think there's going to be some average regression. You mentioned that BABIP's really, really high, but he has improved in a lot of areas. So I no longer think he's going to be a 240 hitter with 25 home runs. I think he's more like 260, 270 with 30 home runs. So still a very solid profile, you know, borderline top 12 third baseman, kind of in that 10 to 15 range probably. So, yeah, very, very impressed with what Raleigh's done so far this year. But I'm even more impressed, speaking of, you know, similar profiles, you know, kind of, Matt Olson has been absolutely bonkers over the last kind of month or two. He's now up to 288, 373, 604 with 18 home runs in 260 plate appearances. All his quality of contact metrics are like 90th percentile or better. He's, you know, and we knew like that's nothing new. Like we knew he was a hit a ton of power. You know, he's always been that big power bat. But I'm liking a lot of what I'm seeing at the plate from him just as a hitter in general. You know, walk rate has dipped a little bit this year, but still 11.2%, 17% strikeout rate. That's down from 31.4 last year and 25.2 year before that. That's a career best rate, you know, outside of his brief stint in 2016 in his rookie season. He is more aggressive in the zone, which I think is great. His zone contact rate has gone way up. His whiff rate has gone way down. I'm buying this. And now, you know, you put out your OBP rankings here. Is he back in the top 50 for you? Because I think if I was doing OBP rankings, he probably would be, because he's in like the, I think I have him in like the 60 to 70 range now. So I think OBP, I probably have him at least 15, 20 spots higher than that. Where do you have him in your OBP rankings, Amber?
Yeah, I think he's definitely top 50, and I'm still working to update those right now, though, overall dynasty rankings. But I mean, he's been impressive, and I think the most impressive thing is the batting average. It's nuts to see that. You know, I never thought that's something we would see. And, you know, you go back to that rookie year when he kind of broke out over those, you know, 216 plate appearances, and he hit 24 home runs. He only hit 260 then, or 259. And, you know, a lot of those batted balls went for home runs. I never saw him eclipsing like 250 for most of his career, even though in 2019, you know, 267 was good. But I think he's legit. I 100% think he's legit. And I think you make an argument right now, like after the Freeman and Bellinger, even Freeman struggled some this year. So that kind of is the top tier for me. But after that, I think it's pretty wide open. And the next tier of guys is like Alonso and Olson, and Olson definitely deserves that edge. I think he's honestly a tier ahead of Alonso at this point with what we've seen. The power is exactly what you expect. The power is legit. And you know, you mentioned the contact metrics have improved a ton. He's improved the strikeout rates. The OBP, like you mentioned, he's walking at high clips. So yeah, I mean, I'm impressed, and I think it's fair to say he's the third best first baseman for dynasty leagues. You there?
Yeah, no, I hadn't thought about it until you just brought it up. I was going to ask you who you liked more out of him and Pete Alonso, but you kind of just answered that. Yeah, I can't, you know, there's a few guys in that range, but yeah, there's none that I'm like clear cut. Yeah, he's number three at first base. You look at my rankings, guys. So I have, oh, wait a minute. Well Vlad Jr.
We forgot. Yeah, I was just thinking we forgot one.
I just put up my rankings. I'm like, oh, yeah, Vladdy. Okay, so Vladdy, one. Freeman, two. And then, yeah, Bellinger, three. And then, yeah, you got Pete Alonso right there. You know, for Dynasty, I think Torque is in that range. DJ LeMahieu's kind of slipped a bit. Abreu has kind of slipped a bit. Vaughn isn't quite there. So, yeah, I think after those three, number four, it's Olsen or Alonso. And, you know, Alonso hasn't been terrible this year, but definitely nowhere near as good as Matt Olsen has been. So, yeah, especially in OBP, I think it's definitely Alonso four there and average closer, but I think he's still number four with what he's shown this year, and especially if some of these improvements at the plate can stick. So he's a, you know, 260 plus hitter moving forward with the OBP always around 400. That is definitely, you know, in that 40 homer and bat, liking that a lot here. Let's move over to talk a few pitchers here before we get out of here. I put up a couple of polls from our show Twitter account at Fantrax Toolshed earlier today, asking if Freddie Peralta or Kevin Gausman, if people were having them as top 25 dynasty arms. So, Chris, are either of these guys top 25 for you? And which performance this year between these two are you more buying into?
Oh, that's tough. I mean,
they're very different pitchers. Like
they're very polarizing in that aspect. And for dynasty, I have a hard time, you know, justifying Gausman that high because of age. But then again, when we think about pitchers, sometimes they reinvent themselves at 30 years old and become really good. And we just remember the Braves, you know, DFAing him in 2019, and look at him now. You know, that's kind of nuts, the jump that he's made. And he's been stellar, and I can't argue with what he's done. And, you know, if it wasn't for the age, I would say easily top 25 for dynasty. But I think even still, I think you have to say that because it's hard to find 25 arms that are, you know, performing at a high level, have age on their side. When you look at dynasty factors, like even though I may not want to rank him top 25, I think he's definitely top 25. Now Peralta as well, you know, he's definitely one that's been intriguing. That's a big jump. I think that if the innings weren't a concern, which I'm afraid that they're going to shut him down or, you know, start throwing him less and less. But still, I mean, he's up to 68 innings so far, and, you know, he's looked really good. The upside is definitely there for a top 25 arm. On the flip side, he's got age on his side, while Gausman doesn't. Peralta's just turned 25 years old. So, yeah, long term, I think it's easy for me to say, yeah, like he's the next Milwaukee arm, like we saw with Woodruff that came on and Burns. Like he's that guy that's taken that step, and I think he's legit. So, yeah, I think I have to say both are top 25, but Peralta is easier for me to say for dynasty purposes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I don't think anybody wants to face Milwaukee in the postseason. Like right now, they're tied with the Cubs, 38-28, atop the NL Central. Imagine getting into a series and you got to face Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta. You better hope you can shut down their offense, which obviously their offense isn't nearly as good as their pitching, especially with Hiria struggling and Yelich struggling and everybody else struggling. But yeah, that's a tough 1-2-3 to face. They're all nasty. You know, I kind of echo what you're saying. Like, I think they're both definitely in that conversation. And the poll results had Gausman 74% yes as being a top 25 fantasy starting pitcher. Peralta, I worded it a little differently. I gave three options in that, but 59% said yes right now. He is top 25. 27% said not yet, but soon. And then only 14% said no, he's not. So, you know, about the same, I think, if I worded that the same as the Gausman poll. But, yeah, I'm more buying into, you know, Freddie Peralta, because you look at what his arsenal, four-pitch mix, four-seamer, slider, changeup, curveball, whiff rate above 32%, all four. 32% whiff rate on his four-seamer, 45.4% on his slider, 35% on the changeup, and 41.7 on the curveball. That has not a lot of hit on the curveball. All the batting average against are under 170. All the slugging against under 300. You know, he is just getting, you know, he's one of the top extension guys, you know, around 7.2 feet of extension. You know, everything, you got to love everything he's been doing this year. You know, the walk rate, yeah, that's a bit high. It's like where Burns was last year. Right now it's at 10.9%. which isn't great, but that's not terrible. But you do want to see that improve. But he's missing bats at a high rate. The xERA is 249, right in line with this 2.25 ERA. So there's really been nothing fluky this year. So I think maybe right now you could both say that they are, but I think the one that has the better chance of sticking as top 25 is Peralta. And I have him in a lot of teams, so really liking what he's been doing this year. Two more names here. Tarik Skubal. He has really reinvented himself, you know, over the last month or so. Like, he started off the season very poorly, but he has the number two strikeout rate since the beginning of May behind, I think it was Max Scherzer. He got rid of the splitter, which was not a very good pitch for him at all. Went back to his changeup, which has been a pretty solid mix there. He's, you know, the breaking ball has been good. The fastball has been good. And he's really kind of proven me wrong. I didn't think he was going to be this good. I really didn't. You still look at his Savant page, a lot of blue there, but a lot of that, you know, had to do with the beginning of his season, but really turned it around. You know, are you believing in this turnaround, or you think this is just a hot stretch for a guy that's probably going to be in his career?
No, I think he's legit because, you know, of those three, like we think back to when they were prospects and you had Mize, you had Skubal, and you had Manning. Skubal was always the one that was most intriguing to me because I thought there was the upside there. And, you know, the big fastball, and we wondered, you know, was it enough to play at the big league level? And, you know, it's been interesting to watch his, you know, progression of pitch mix change. And, you know, the four-seam is obviously his dominant pitch. He's using it 50% of the time. But, you know, last season he used it nearly 60% of the time. And we've seen him up the slider usage a lot, like you mentioned. The changeup has been, you know, he's using it less, actually, which is interesting. But then he's also using a curveball, a splitter, a sinker, and even a cutter, you know, to a lesser extent. Only used a couple times this year. But you look at the arsenal, and I think that, you know, he's got it working. He's finally fine-tuning it, I think, and he's making it what he knows he needs to be. And the four-seam slider combo is obviously the predominant use of pitches there, and they've both been pretty good this year. You know, the fastball has been, you know, hit kind of hard on some occasions, but I think that's been improving because at the beginning of the year, you look at his heat map, he was just leaving it over the middle of the plate and he was letting him, you know, hit bombs off of him. And now he's kind of settled in some. And I think that, you know, he's not going to continue to be this hot, but I think he's going to be a really serviceable starting pitcher for fantasy purposes. And, you know, I've been a fan of what I've seen out of him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned, like, he really has gone through, he's really kind of finding his pitch mix this year, but I think he might have found it because he has ditched the splitter, gone back to just having a changeup. He still uses the sinker, like, he threw that nine times. So, like, his last start, four seamer 45% of the time, slider 25%, changeup 11%, knuckle curve and sinker both 9%. And yeah, the slider, changeup, and curveball have all been very good for him this year. All have batting average against under 200. The whiff rate on the changeup has been near 50% with a 36% putaway rate. It might be his best pitch this year. So I'd like to see him up that usage more. And he's really only a two-pitch guy against. He'll throw any of these pitches against righties, but lefties, he's predominantly four-seam slider, so that does worry me a bit. But yeah, I do think he's not this good, but I definitely have higher hopes for him now than I did a month or two ago. He's really, really shown me a lot in these last 6-7 starts, and now that he's getting his pitch mix down to, you know, the four-seam slider, changeup, curveball, mostly a little bit of sinker usage as well. But, you know, really, really impressed me here. One that I'm starting to get a little worried about, not a lot, but a little worried about, maybe he's not the number one, number two dynasty arm, Shane Bieber. You know, this year he's still striking out a ton of batters, but the ratios are dipping a little bit. He doesn't look as crisp as he has in years past. The walk rate is up to 8.6%, which is still decent, but very un-Bieber-like, guy that was sub 5% for the most part. He's getting hit, you know, hard this year. You know, xERA is 3.52. Like, he's still good, but do you think his stranglehold as, you know, number one, number two dynasty arm might be slipping a little bit there?
Potentially. Yeah. I mean, when you look at how dominant DeGrom has been, you know, it's hard to keep Bieber ahead. I mean, even age, you know, there's a big difference in age there, but DeGrom's mileage, even with the injuries, I still think it's safe to say DeGrom is the top arm for Dynasty. And I feel comfortable saying that. You mentioned, I mean, Bieber's always kind of been hit kind of hard, and it's just kind of hurt him a little more this year. I think he's got away with it some, and he's still been good. And we mentioned that he's still been really good, but he's not been like SP1 good. We'll say that. I mean, yes, I think he's like still a number one starter for fantasy purposes, but not the SP1. I'll go ahead and say that. But I don't know. I kind of go back and wonder, like, and you hate to at this point to question the substance stuff, but yeah, it's definitely worth thinking about. I mean, you know, he kind of made that quick meteoric rise, you know, and was so good because he wasn't that dominant as a prospect. Like, we knew him as the guy that was, you know, had the great command and didn't walk a ton of guys. And so I wonder if he's kind of pulled off of that a little bit and it's hurt him. And we saw the walk rate kind of spike a little bit last season. And, you know, he still pitched at a dominant level and it's up even more this year. So I don't know. You know, he's been good, but he's not been like elite. So yeah, I have a little bit of concerns, but I'm not like overly concerned.
Now, is he closer to DeGrom for you, or is he closer to like that 4-5 cluster of like all the Bs, Burns, Buehler, and Woodruff? You think, is he closer to those guys, or is he closer to? I think he's kind of in the middle, but I think he might be getting closer to the getting down towards that, you know, Burns range for me personally.
Yeah, I mean, you start factoring Garrett Cole and.
I think Cole's two right now.
Yeah,
I would say DeGrom's one easily. I don't care that he's 32. We talked about the mileage on the arm isn't as high as most 32-year-olds. Think of DeGrom as being 28. I think that's where like his mileage probably is. So yeah, think of him as 28, and obviously he has like a 0. He has like a negative ERA at this point. This doesn't give up runs. So yeah, he's definitely one. I think Cole is two now. Yeah, I think that, you know, it's not really a clear cut three anymore. I think it's some of these guys are starting to inch up into that conversation, like the Burnses and Woodruff. You know, Burns has kind of not been as great recently, but yeah, I think Bieber might be slipping a little bit down to that range.
Yeah, he's still my three, I think, but
yeah, he is for me too, as right now. But
somewhere between Cole and the next guy, then that next group, I wouldn't say he's closer to either or right now.
Yeah. All right, a lot of stuff we just got through, and that's going to wrap us up. Thank you to everyone again for listening this week. We appreciate you all greatly, and all of our Patreon subscribers as well. You can sign up there, patreon.com/FantraxToolshed. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm EricCross04. Chris is at RotoClegg, and our show is at FantraxToolshed. Check out all of our written work at FantraxHQ.com. And we will be back with you all again next week with more Dynasty and Prospect talk. But until then, everyone take care. Stop using the spider pack.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.